Let me see if I can get this call on.
Hello, Surfer.
Are you calling about Star Wars?
I can.
No, I was going to do that to later.
Oh, I was calling in just to talk about the glorious things of Marvel, so it doesn't matter.
Okay, then.
I'm coming to hang out, baby.
No, speak your piece.
I am so happy that my man Doom finally might be coming to the MCU.
Yeah, if Congress doesn't do anything about it, do you hear that congressman wants thinking about blocking it or wanting to try to block it?
Yeah.
And for the one article I said, it said the Democrats. I don't know if it's just them. If it's just the Democrats, well, they don't have enough control to do anything about it.
I don't understand why they would block it.
Well,
if they're a comic book fan.
It's about... there are some things that... This is probably all speculation, but there are some things that, you know, they don't want too much control of one company because then they'll give you choice.
Well, if they do that, if they break up, I don't care. As long as X-Men, Fantastic Four go to Marvel, I don't care where the rest go.
Yeah, I can agree with that.
Yeah.
Let's get the comic book property back.
That's the only thing I care about.
It could be they don't want Rupert Murdoch to make any money. Who knows?
But it's redundant. I mean, they're not.
Well, look, for whatever reason, the Fox started the movie business wasn't good for them to stay in, and you know, plus Disney gets control of quite a few cable channels with this deal. And with them controlling these cable channels, you know, it could drive up prices in that. And Disney just wants the content to start their streaming service.
Yeah.
So.
Because think about it, man. Now you can get X-Men shows. You get all this stuff starting to... starting to show up. But what would you think? Well, let's talk speculation. If the deal goes through, how do you think they're going to introduce the X-Men and these other characters?
Well, I could not tell you. Of course, they're going to let the films that are already being made come out.
Yeah.
More than likely, they'll reboot the X-Men.
Which I would love. They just need to... I wasn't even going to really go look at this new Dark Phoenix saga because I just think it just would be just a waste of the characters.
I'm going to see it, but yeah, I'm in the camp that they make a mistake doing Dark Phoenix.
Yeah,
you know, it's been a long time when they started making X-Men film. People said, "I want to see Dark Phoenix." But there's no build up to Dark Phoenix. You're just getting Dark Phoenix with no context.
That's like, you know, that's at least a two picture thing. They need to do it kind of like Infinity War, Dark Phoenix. It can't just be one movie.
And then my thing is, they got these people. Like, look, I like First Class and Days of Future Past and didn't care much for Apocalypse. But my one problem is each film is 10 years apart. And yet you got these characters don't look like they've aged a day.
Yeah.
Which makes no sense to me. Like Alex Summers. He's like a young teenager, early 20s in First Class. And then you see him in Age of Apocalypse, and it's supposed to be 20 years later, and he doesn't look no more than 2 or 3 years old than he was in the first movie.
Yeah,
and so they're doing the same thing with Dark Phoenix. It's 10 years after this last X-Men movie, after Apocalypse. So all these people they recast for Cyclops and Jean Grey, they're not going to look any older than they did, you know, in the first movie.
Yeah,
and Some of them. Go ahead.
Sorry. No, I was saying, yeah. Isn't Jennifer Lawrence supposed to be in this next X-Men movie again?
Yeah, I saw something where I don't know if
I thought she was done with it.
She wanted to be done, but you know, money talks. But then now she's kind of acting like
because her roles are starting to dry up in Hollywood.
No, why would you say that?
Saying she hasn't had so many big budget blockbusters coming out.
Well, every movie can't be a blockbuster.
I know. Well, I'm just saying.
But I don't mean that. Her, it's not drying up for her. She's in demand. She got people want to work with her. But I think I saw something where she felt she may have been jerked around a bit on this movie. I don't know what's going on. But, and, you know, Deadpool's coming out, and that's going to stay R-rated. And the question is, will the next one under Marvel be R-rated or not?
Yeah. Like, you know what I think they need to do? Because you see the picture Ryan Reynolds posted? That, I think, just a teaser or a funny thing at the end of Deadpool, he needs to show up at Disneyland to get arrested. I think that would be hilarious.
Oh, yeah, I saw that. The way I see it, you can keep his standalone movie R-rated, but when he makes an appearance in other movies, then tone him down. And it's
The joke will be he was about to say something and somebody cut him off. You know, like old school slapstick. Well,
maybe you could do that once or twice. You don't want to keep doing it through the whole movie. That would mess with the flow of the movie.
Yeah.
But it's gonna take a while for the deal to be finalized. You know, these things don't just happen overnight. And even though I think they've worked up the money, you know, it still has to be approval by people. So now one of the rumors I was hearing about with this deal making it so that Rupert Murdoch can take over for Bob Iger. And I'm like, no. Why would you? No, we don't want Rupert Murdoch to be running Disney. I mean, he has an agenda. And, you know, we know how the things about Fox News and everything. And we don't need that with sweet old Disney.
Anyway. Whatever. You don't think the daggone mouse is the fastest, too? You keep on being like sweet Disney. Mouse own everything. Name something that the mouse ain't touched that we use.
Don't own the dinosaurs. Mouse. Don't own the cars.
The mouse is Darth Sidious. We just ain't understanding that.
As a company, yeah, they might have their evil ways. I'm talking about the person running at the top. And what does he do to, you know, as far as getting involved with the politics in this country. Now, I don't know what Iger's politics is, what way he leans, who he gives money to, but we know where Rupert Murdoch's head is, so I just don't, don't want to be a part of that. Because they're talking about Iger running for president. Yeah, it's like, okay, what? I don't know. So, I was going to go over my list of movies. You ready to hear it?
Yeah. Of the year?
Yeah. So, I left out most of the animated movies because I missed a lot this year. But I had to put a couple on there. Well, actually, it's just one animated movie that's on here.
The one with the bull, right?
No.
Did you go see that?
No, I haven't seen it yet.
I know it ain't made no money this weekend.
It made $11 million.
Money.
Came in second place.
How much did Star Wars make this weekend?
$220 million.
Yeah, that ain't no money.
Dude, everything's not gonna be a blockbuster when it opens.
I think John Cena.
Even if it wasn't a Star Wars out, it probably wouldn't have made much more than it made. I mean,
it is a bull. I'm just pickled, bro.
You don't have to pick with me. Anyway, so I counted 22 films that came out this year that's comic book related. And don't argue with me about what's not a comic book movie, because I make the decision. Some things...
Hey, hold up,
the key word is related. Huh?
So you sound like a dictator. Don't argue with you.
No, I'm talking about people listening now or later or whatever. Oh. All right, so at 22, the worst film of the year, comic book related wise. You want one guess or you want me to tell you?
Tell me.
Transformers: The Last Night.
You ain't gonna get no this. You're not gonna get no.
Yes, I'm talking to you, Thomas. Now, why is this movie the worst? Well, I've never seen a franchise five films in get worse with each one that comes out. And
hey, wait a minute. You want to? I could disagree with that. The Police Academy movies start getting worse. Are we talking about 80s or a comic book franchise?
No. Listen. Police Academy 1's funny, 2's funny, you could say 3's funny, but it wasn't like those movies weren't any good. Now the second half of those movies, you know, that's up to you whether you like them or not, but it wasn't like all of them was bad and got worse as they came out. With the Transformers, that's in, at least in my opinion, that's the case.
The first one. I haven't watched one since the second one, because I walked out of the movie theater when they put balls on Devastator and watching them.
Was not a fan of that first one. I walked out saying average at best. And then when I saw it in IMAX with the added scenes, I was less liking it than the first time I saw it. And then,
I thought it was all right. I just didn't like how they killed the only black Transformer.
You and me both. But this last night, I mean, it barely had Optimus Prime in it. It just forgot all sense of physics. I mean, when a planet enters another planet's atmosphere, that destroys both worlds. Yet somehow Cybertron can enter our atmosphere and touch the ground of Earth gently.
Oh, yeah, that's not going to happen, because the gravity.
And then somebody thought it would be a good idea for part of the movie to make Optimus Prime the villain.
No.
And Mark Wahlberg, well, he's an okay actor. He's not that strong. And then, of course, when you got Michael Bay directing the film and somehow he can sexualize a teenage girl, I'm like, you need help. Now, he keeps promising he's going to walk away from these films, but somehow he's not. And then they think it's a good idea to do an R-rated Bumblebee?
John Cena.
It's not about who's in it. Why do you think Bumblebee
shouldn't be in an R-rated one? If anybody knew anything about Transformers, it should have been the Wreckers, Ultra Magnus and his group.
But they didn't introduce most of these Transformers.
That's just people just making movies and don't know the properties.
And then you got the ones that you have in the last two movies that just stereotype bots. All right, so 21. I put Ghost in the Shell. You all know that the movie was pretty much insulting, that they took a role that should have been for a Japanese actress and gave it to Scarlett Johansson, and then at the end put a big old FU in the movie. and didn't do a strong movie on top of that. Number 20, Valeria in the City of a Thousand Planets.
I'm about to sit down and watch that one. I actually picked that up on Blu-ray.
Beautiful.
I'm hearing mixed things. I'm gonna have to not veto it. I'm gonna watch that.
Okay, listen. Tomorrow. This is my list.
Oh no! I'm just saying from okay. A lot of people, it might be on the thing of John Carter of Mars, which I think a lot of people.
John Carter of Mars.
Oh, I like it too. I'm just saying it might be old science fiction, and a lot of people don't like that.
That's not what my problem was.
Okay.
Okay, his thing was, it's a beautiful looking movie. The special effects gorgeous. The scenes gorgeous. The movie itself boring. I mean, I know I nodded off in that movie. I just don't know whether I missed a few minutes at a time or nodded off for a good 10-20 minutes. It just could not keep me awake. It just. There was, and the actors who played the two main characters, they just didn't seem right at all, and the chemistry was off. Not to mention they ripped off Avatar for some aliens. Now, but being saying it's an old property, that's not, you know, that doesn't, to me, that's not a reason why I couldn't understand it.
Well, I'm just saying, I heard a lot, some people, I haven't watched it, so I mean, I was going to watch it this afternoon, but I ended up watching the game and stuff.
Number 19, sorry, go ahead.
Nah, that was it.
Number 19, Underworld Blood Wars.
I'm surprised I won't like 21.
Well...
I know you got a soft spot for Underworld series.
I've never thought the Underworld series were great. I just thought they were okay for what they were. And this one seemed like it was one little too late as far as bringing out this last movie, where at this point no one cares what happened to the characters at this point. And a lot of the characters they introduced, they just seem to not bring back, and they come up with these excuses about them being dead and killed off, and I'm
just not a fan of the stylized aristocratic vampires. It just, you know, they're all rich and beautiful. It just reminds me of the, I don't know, I'm just tired of like that. I miss the horror and vampires.
And you know, the original Underworld was an analogy for interracial relationship.
Yeah, I know. I just don't like the whole stylized, everybody's all cool. Man. I want scary, you know, the Christopher Walken, Christopher Lee Dracula kind of deal, you know.
And then another one at 18, I'm sorry. That could have been tied with the one below it. And it was too little, too late, and nothing different from what you've seen. It was just there. It was Resident Evil, the final chapter, which it won't be the final chapter, because at some point somebody said, let's do another Resident Evil movie. But I guess it's the last one with Mila Jovovich. And
thank God.
And they did answer some questions about her character. Whether you accept them or not is beyond me. Why Alice is so special in the first place, and where she came from. And when you find that out, you may think this is some bullshit. And why people that you think have died in so many episodes keep coming back for the next one to be a pain in the ass. And then the ultimate end game. Oh. It just seemed contrived. 17, I got Smurf, The Lost Village. This time they did an all CGI Smurf. But it's just Smurfs. There's nothing special about it.
Were they Smurfing in the Smurf movie?
Yeah, it was some Smurfs found a female Smurf village. And
so, no Smurf on Smurf action.
No, I don't think so.
Oh, you didn't get the joke.
Well, I got it. I know what you're saying. Let's see. 16. The Dark Tower. Disappointing to a lot of people. I thought it was just okay. I've not read.
I got that. I got that one too. I haven't sat down and watched that one either. I mean, I racked up on Black Friday this year on movies. I just haven't had a chance to sit down and watch them.
You know, a lot of people said that it seemed to cram like parts of the first book and the last book together and try to make it into one story. And, you know, maybe they shouldn't have. There was a controversy about Idris Elba playing the man in. Playing the gunslinger. They didn't like the fact that he was black. And some people thought he should have played the man in black. So if you're black, you got to play black. I mean, I don't get that.
I mean, that's funny because, you know, if you look at the Magnificent Seven, the original one, the man in black was Yul Brynner. So, you know what I mean. It doesn't matter if. That's just the name of the character, that's all. That's what I'm saying.
Number 15. I just watched it this morning so I could make sure I had a complete list. The Power Rangers.
I thought it was alright, but I saw my wife loves Power Rangers. It was. I just didn't like the way they changed about it. And my biggest whole thing in the movie is Zordon could have came back. All they had to do on Billy was do some damn CPR.
Yeah, nobody. But everybody don't know CPR.
but you know what I'm saying? It was like he won't even reward her like 2 minutes, and they just let him die.
But they're teenage kids, they don't know what they're doing. But anyway, I was never like a huge Power Ranger fan. I didn't grow up watching it. Seen episodes here and there, but you know, I get it for those who grew up watching it. Power Rangers is a lot to them, and I don't know if the hardcore fans truly took to this movie or was disappointed by it. I just watched it as another Power Ranger movie and moved on, so I'm neutral on it. So
I didn't like the look of the Zords and their costume.
The costumes, you know, that was just CGI or whatever. As far as the Zords, like, when you know, in the TV show, it's made for the Zords to look like toys.
Yeah.
But, what?
I also found they messed up in the continuity error, but nobody else caught this, but I did.
What?
The Black Ranger Zords are mammoth, right?
Mm-hmm.
Zordon said that these were the animals on the Earth at the time. So it was during the era of dinosaurs. Mammoths and dinosaurs weren't alive at the same time.
Mammoths were
supposed to... No, they won't.
Mammoths were supposed to be kind of like a prehistoric animal.
Okay, I just would have said if it was prehistoric animals, but he said they were... They took the form of the animals on the planet at that time.
So when was mammoths on the planet?
They came after. There were during the time when, because Zordon summoned the asteroid. I was going to bring this up with Double A since I watched it. Zordon summoned the asteroid to destroy the Earth to take out, you know, Rita. That's what I thought in the beginning of the movie. So that would have been. The asteroid would have caused the dawn of the mammals. Because there were no mammals on Earth at that time. So it would have been another 20, 30 million years before mammoths start showing up.
And when did they die out?
Towards the end of the Ice Age for us. But Zordon was already down and under with 65 million years.
You know
years.
What? The way I see it, none of us was around back then. We don't know what animals they were.
I'm just saying, sir. Are you going to try to dispute science?
No, I'm not. Science. Hey, listen, what lived millions of years ago? No one truly knows. It's all speculation. It's just, you know, people have tried to come up with their, you know, with their hypothesis, and some of it has been taken as fact, but there's no real documentation as to what animals was first or second and who was really here and what happened to them.
Yeah, I'm only trying to be mean enough, but I'm just saying I spot that, you know, that error.
I got 14, Atomic Blonde. That was a pretty violent action film starring Charlize Theron as a double agent spy in Berlin just before the fall of the Berlin Wall. And
that had to fill the female action movie quota. I mean, nothing about that movie wanted me to go see that.
No, it's a nice action flick. I know some people, they just loved it and watched it over and over. I mean, it's a pretty violent film, and they don't pull the punches on this. So, you don't want to be chauvinistic and not watch it. You want to watch it. Thirteen. Blade Runner 2046, the follow-up to Blade Runner, starring Ryan Gosling and Harrison Ford. And for the most of it, the movie isn't about Harrison Ford. He doesn't come into the third act. It's mostly about Ryan Gosling's character and his investigating a child that he's looking for, or birth. And you got people on both sides wanting to find whoever this child is or who it grew up to be, because if the information of this child gets out, it could change the world as we know it. And you know, it had a nice look to it. It's a long movie. It's not a lot of action to it, so I could see where it could bore some people, but I enjoyed it enough to I would watch it again when it came on TV.
It shouldn't that be out on DVD and Blu-ray right now?
It may be out now. It's hard to keep up what's out, what's not out.
Yeah.
Number 12, I got Kingsman: The Golden Circle. Some people was disappointed with this Kingsman compared to the first one, but I thought it was enjoyable with Eggsy trying to get help from the Statesman after his organization is destroyed again by a secret organization called the Golden Circle, who's really just a illegal drug company wanting to make drugs legal.
Oh, hold on. I haven't seen it yet.
No, I'm not spoiling everything, but you know, I leave it up to you whether you think Kingsman worth seeing, but I thought it was good, and so that's why it's 12th on my list. At 11, I got Kong Skull Island. Yes, King Kong is back, and he's mad as shit, especially when you come to his home dropping bombs. And this takes place in the early 70s, like near the end of the Vietnam War, where some scientists, you know, they find this island and they think they're going to find oil, but the truth is Kong is waiting for them. And when the soldiers start dropping bombs, he gets mad, he starts kicking their ass. Well, now they have to get back to the safest place they can get off this island. But there's other dangers besides Kong, and Kong's not the real danger, because you have other creatures, giant creatures that are real, even more dangerous. And it might be up to Kong to actually keep them safe. And this all ties in with the Monolith universe. You know about Monolith? No?
No, I haven't.
Did you see the last Godzilla movie?
Yeah, I seen that. I got Kong on my.
Nah, but same. Okay.
I know they're talking about with They had King. They had not King Kong, but they had King Ghidorah, Rodan.
No. But I'm just saying, yeah, Monolith is, you know, this the organization that keeps track of these giant creatures and so forth. Yeah. And they was in King Kong. I mean Godzilla, and this was like a prequel to that last Godzilla movie in a way. It took place before then.
Yeah.
And so, of course, Godzilla's gonna be coming. Another Godzilla movie gonna be coming out soon. Because he's king of the monsters. And then, of course, we finally gonna get that King Kong Godzilla movie.
And damn, Godzilla better not do the job on this one like the last one.
He didn't do the job on the last one.
He better not do the damn
job. He didn't do the job. It wasn't a real... There was not a real winner. It's made... Like, they fall into the water.
We don't want a dusty finish either.
Nah. Yeah, you probably do. They fall into the water, and then King Kong, he comes to the surface, swims away, but then you hear Godzilla's roar. So no, really was no defeat to either side. Where am I at?
Is King Kong.
Wait, why do I have Blade Runner on here twice? Okay. There's not 22 movies. It's 21 movies. Blade Runner is not 13th. It's really 10th. So my bad. And Skull Island is 11.
Yeah.
So everything from 13 down, move it up one. So Atomic Blonde is 13, not 14. Like that, okay? So I'll just read them real quick. 21, Transformers. 20, Ghost in the Shell. 19, Valeria. 18, Underworld. 17, Resident Evil. 16, Smurfs Lost Village. 15th is Dark Tower. 14th, Power Rangers. 13th, Atomic Blonde. 12th, Kingsman. Kong is 11. Blade Runner is 10. Okay.
I'll be right back.
Okay, well, I gotta keep the list going, so.
Okay, hold on.
At number 9, a movie not a lot of people saw and probably didn't know this should be on the list. And if you get a chance to see it on home video, I would give you a chance. I would suggest you watch it. Slight. WWE movie. It's about a young urban kid who, you know, has to hustle out in the street, take care of his sister after tragedy strikes his parents. And he tries to do the right things, but he also has to, you know, sell on the side. And somehow he seems to have abilities that doesn't have a real explanation to it. You know, he can seem to move stuff with his hands, and it makes it look like he moved it with his mind. But then when he gets into some real trouble and he has to keep his sister safe, he has to harness these abilities in order to keep his sister and himself protected from the drug boss crime lord, who would kill him and his sister because of his money. And there is a real world explanation of why this person, it seems like he has powers, why he really has them. So it's some smoke and mirrors, but it does make a little sense. You back, Doom?
Yeah, I'm back.
Okay. So, yeah, number 9 is Slight. Did you see Slight yet?
No, I've not seen it.
It's a WWE movie.
No. Who's the wrestler that's in there? Nobody?
Nobody. And it had a lot of high, you know, reviews, so. Number 9. Wait, I got 2 9s? I do have 2 9s. Oh man, I can't even put numbers on here right. So there's only 20 films, not 22. And 7, 8, 9. Slight should be 10. Blade Runner 11. Well, I'll read the list again at the end. I'm messing up. Alright, so the real number 9 is Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2. Some people think the Guardians series is the best of the Marvel films. Some people was a bit disappointed with this version of Guardians as opposed to the first one, because I guess they expected more. I thought it gave you everything you should have got in the Guardians movies, so I wasn't disappointed by it. And of course we got to learn about Star-Lord and his pappy.
Yeah.
And his daddy.
I liked him as a villain.
Got to see Baby Groot, so you can buy those toys for Christmas. And, you know, we got a little development with the other characters of the Guardians crew, and got a new Guardians in Mantis. And, of course, we got to see Ego the Living Planet on screen. You can't get no better than that.
I love Kirk Douglas as Ego.
But I'm saying when it showed the planet Ego.
Yeah.
The giant face.
Yeah, I liked it.
Alright, number 8 movie. War of the Planet of the Apes.
Did not see that.
With the Planet of the Apes, the last 3 movies, it's been a spectacular trilogy, in my opinion. And it's some a lot of people too. I've heard some people think that's the best trilogy they've ever seen. And I, you know, just love the way how, you know, what's different between these 3 Planet of the Apes and like all the ones in the past, like the original ones and the Mark Wahlberg one. This was the first time the film was all from the perspective of the ape Caesar. Even when they had Caesar in the original Planet of the Apes, it still was a film looking at Caesar from the outside. But this movie was all from Caesar's perspective. And you find yourself rooting for the apes in these films than the humans, especially in the third one. Because it's gotten to the point now where, you know, some humans are at war with the apes because humanity's trying to hold on to whatever they can in this world. The apes are getting smarter and getting stronger as far as, you know, numbers. Yeah. And there's also something else going on with the humans that's really threatening the humans to a point where once it's done, of course, you'll get the Planet of Apes that you know, that where the apes run everything, and the humans are just herded as animals and kept in cages and used as slaves and aren't very intelligent. But until that time, you do follow Caesar's journey from him leading his people to a safe place and trying to start a place where they can thrive as you know, apes and so on, away from humans. But you know, we know that's not going to happen, because in the next one, we're going to get back to the apes running things and the humans, like I said, in cages, and astronauts coming down saying, "Get your damn dirty hands off of me."
Yeah. We need that Charlton Heston, man.
No, we don't need Charlton Heston no more. Anyway, crazy. Hey. He died crazy. Number 7, Lego the Batman.
Liked it.
Yes, very, very entertaining for a Lego movie. Had a lot of heart. Had a lot of you know, cameos from the Batman Rogues Gallery, including the Condom King, and you know, his little story with the Joker, his relationship with the Justice League, him adopting Dick Grayson and making him into Robin, and even Batgirl joining the team. So I don't know if we need another Batman movie or not, but right now I thought this was, I can watch it over and over.
Yep.
Well, I don't know if it's better than the regular the Lego movie, but it's close. Number six, I thought this would be on a lot of people's top 10 list when it came out, and apparently it's not. But it's as far as this list, I haven't decided my regular all movies top 10 list yet. Professor Marston and the Wonder Woman. Of course, Professor Marston is the person who created Wonder Woman, and of course, you know, in this movie you learn about his life, having two women, and in being into bondage and so on, and how that translated into those early Wonder Woman's comics, and how organizations tried to stop the Wonder Woman book because of these things. And you learn about his wife, who was also smart, but yet because she was a woman, she was being tied down. Then when they get involved with this third person, how it changes their lives for good and bad. You think you're going to see when it comes on video?
Maybe.
I say watch.
Maybe it. Netflix.
Yeah, okay, watch it on Netflix. Yeah, you're going to like it. Speaking of Wonder Woman, that's my number five movie. Patty Jenkins knocked it out the park with this particular movie. Gal Gadot, who I'm not going to lie, I had doubts when they said she was going to play Wonder Woman.
I didn't think she was big enough.
Yeah, but that's what the whole thing was.
Yeah.
And, I guess she worked out some. Because, you know, if you've seen those videos, how they had the women work out, you know, so they could look a little ripped for to play Amazons. She worked out too, so. She's been able to pull off the role so far. Everybody's buying her as Wonder Woman, and it's showing how she decided to leave Themyscira and return to the world of man to help help them fight World War I against the Germans, not the Nazis, because they weren't Nazis then, and the German allies, and of course the overall evil of Ares, who was the god of war, and you know if there's a war around, he has to be behind it. So I'm curious what they're going to do with Wonder Woman 2 now that they have to do a sequel in the modern day. How?
Now, I heard it's supposed to be in the 1980s with the Soviets, and
oh, so they're not going to do a modern. Okay.
No, like I said, if they do in the 80s with the Soviets and it says somehow Chris Pine survived or came back, dude, they're copying the Winter Soldier, man.
Yeah, but he needs to be old, because at least with the Winter Soldier, you know, they was freezing him, and that's why he was. Well,
I'm saying if something like that happens, then
I don't know. All right, number four. I got Star Wars: The Last Jedi, which I'll get into later about that film, so I'm going to skip that. I see why it's there, but, you know, that'll be after this list is over. Number three, Spider-Man Homecoming. It's the Spider-Man we needed and didn't know we needed.
Yeah.
Marvel brought Spider-Man home and did about everything right with this film. Man, he also even brought in and made a villain that, you know, most people probably don't really care about, and made him an interesting, compelling villain where you understand his motivations. Plus actually put Peter Parker in high school, not just high school until he graduates in the first 5 minutes, and then, you know, off to take pictures for the Daily Bugle, but actual high school kids, high school friends, high school problems.
You know.
Hot aunt. You know.
Learning. Learning to become a better superhero.
Yes, because he's still learning, you know, how to, uses abilities and stuff, and he's being mentored by Iron Man, who Tony Stark. And one of the things you come away from this is Tony Stark don't have a understanding of Peter Parker's powers either.
Yeah,
because he wouldn't have gave him the suit that he did if he did have an understanding of Spider-Man's abilities. But yeah, he just made an assumption, well, I wear an automated suit, so you know everybody with an automated suit is better off.
Yeah,
and you know the Vulture, yeah, he was a great villain.
Yeah, and a good motivation.
Yes.
No, nobody else has understood that. That was a genuine motivation. Like, hey, I
want to
lose everything.
It was I got to eat. My family got to eat. So,
yep.
You know, he wasn't
reluctant to kill that dude. The original Shocker.
He wasn't trying to kill him.
Huh? Yeah.
He was not trying to kill him.
Yeah, he was trying to scare him.
And you know, it was a mistake. Anyway, what do you think number two is?
Justice League.
Wait a minute. I didn't mention Justice League?
No.
That's why my list is off. You know what?
That's what you need me around every now and then, sir.
Let's see. What should...
Then what was your number two? We can put...
No. See, I have to stop the show. Justice League. Should have been.
I was saying about these in the top.
No. I had it somewhere. It was supposed to be 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. Where did I mess up at? Oh, okay. Justice League should have been under Blade Runner.
Okay. Well, we put it in there. So, I'm trying to think what other superhero movies came out this year.
I thought I wrote that down. Let's see.
So, I think Thor should be one.
Wait. I'm trying to... No. Hold on. 8, 9... 10, 11, 12, 13. Justice League is 14.
Okay.
14. Now, my thing about Justice League is it was an okay movie.
Too much Zack Snyder. Or
no, I mean...
conflicts messed up.
You know, for the... What should have been the... It was one of those things that it just showed that Warner Brothers was so busy trying to rush to make this team movie as opposed to building up the pieces around it. So yeah. We care about who's on the team before they come together to fight a villain. And then, now, I didn't hate Steppenwolf as far as his look. You know, some people complain he's just a big CGI creature. Of course he's going to be a big CGI creature. If you do a regular sized man in makeup, it doesn't look right. I mean, these are new gods. And I don't hate it. Some people are hating on it just because they, you know, think that's what they're supposed to do. They're not really judging it fairly. They came in thinking it was going to be a crap movie. So they came out with crap. And then there's a lot of people came in expecting this to be their favorite movie of all time. And they came out thinking that way. And I went in neutral and I came out saying, yes, it was okay. I can watch it more than once. But it just didn't wow me at all. So, yeah, I got to go over this list one time. Anyway, so number two. It's Thor Ragnarok. And I love the Thor franchise. And I had no problem with the first and the second Thor. Some people don't like the second Thor. That's okay. No need to argue. But, you know, this was a different tone altogether. You know, they took elements of Thor and added in the Hulk, and they took elements of Planet Hulk, and of course, you know, it's called Ragnarok because it's the destruction of the gods. And
yep, you gonna be on to Seven Surfer?
Huh?
So you gonna be on the Seven?
At Seven?
No, till Seven.
No. When this is over, I'll go off. Why? What's that? Are you going? What's that Seven?
No, I thought you said this was from 5 to 7, right?
No, well, I just put date times on the invite.
Nah, because I gotta help my wife out with something. That's what I said.
Yeah, we'll probably be up before then.
Okay, all right. Nah, so I gotta head out now. I was gonna come back a little bit later.
All right, I'll talk to you later then.
Sorry, man. Mm-hmm.
It's no problem. Yeah, so you know, I watched Thor more than a few times. And you know, I don't know if this is my favorite Thor or not, and I don't know if this is my favorite Marvel film, but it's high up there. And you know, it worked on a lot of levels, in my opinion. But my number one movie, there's no I forgot this movie or, and you know, I gave it a lot of thought, and yet this movie to me just. Stuck at the top, stayed at the top, in my opinion, as the best comic book movie of this year, and that's Logan. I mean, to be the last Hugh Jackman role as Wolverine, unless he decides to come back to do it for Marvel, it really went out on a high note, very emotional. Both he and Patrick Stewart as Professor Xavier, you know, seeing their final run together as Wolverine and Professor X, plus the adding of X-23 to the mix, and they took a Western and made into a comic book movie, and this movie just works on every and all levels, if you ask me. It's the best I've seen this year. And you know, watching it in the black and white version too, it adds a lot to it. So this is my favorite movie of the year. Alright, so let me try to read this list properly from 1 to bottom. So 1's Logan, 2's Thor, 3 Spider-Man, 4 is The Last Jedi, 5 is Wonder Woman, 6 is Professor Marston, 7 is Lego Batman Movie, 8 is War of the Planet of the Apes, 9 is Guardians of the Galaxy 2, 10 is Slight, 11 is Blade Runner, 12 is Kong Skull Island, 13th is Kingsman the Golden Circle, 14th is Blade Runner, 15th is Justice League, 16th is Atomic Blonde, 17th is Dark, no, sorry, 16th, wait a minute, sorry, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15th is Justice League, 16th is Atomic Blonde, 17th is Power Rangers, 18th is Dark Tower, 19th is Smurf, The Lost Village, 20th is Resident Evil, 21st is Underworld Blood War, 22nd is Valerian and the City of Lost Planets, 23rd is Ghost in the Shell, 24th is Transformers. How'd I get to 24? This is hard work, people. Oh, my head, it hurts. But that's my list. You can argue all you want, but it's my list, and I'm right, and you're wrong. So, and as always, my list is right, because I'm the expert. And so, now let's get into the Star Wars talk. if you are listening live and you want to call in to discuss Star Wars, you can reach me at Skype at SilverSurfer_forever. And at that point, if you want to do a spoiler talk, then we can do that. If you're listening and don't want to hear the spoiler part, you can leave and come back later. But right now, I'm not going to do spoilers since I'm giving a review. This is the 8th film of the Skywalker Legacy movies. Chapter 8, The Last Jedi. And of course, returning stars are Mark Hamill, Carrie Fisher, Adam Driver, Daisy Ridley, John Boyega, Oscar Isaac, Adam Serkis, Lupita Nyong'o, Domhnall Gleeson, Anthony Daniels, Gwendolyn Christie, and newcomers of Kelly Marie Tran, Lauren Dern, and Benicio Del Toro. And so this movie, now, one of the things I am going to spoil real quick without ruining the movie is it seems like this movie like takes place like immediately after The Force Awakens. Do not be fooled by that. The reason why I tell you that, now, one of the things that happened early on is we do pick up where Rey has met Luke on his secluded island. And at the same time, the First Order is of course trying to eliminate the resistance once and for all. Now, if you assume that because the last scene you saw in Force Awakens was Rey meeting Luke Skywalker, and this is all taking place at the same time, that much time has went by. But I'm telling you, that would be a mistake, because we're assuming that once Rey found out where Luke Skywalker is, she jumps in the Millennium Falcon to get there in no time. But that can't be the case, because one, we don't know how long it takes to travel through space, and it's not like you can just jump into hyperspace and do that the whole time. So we don't know if it took her days, weeks, maybe a couple months to get to Luke's place. And so when he does get to Luke's place, that's where this movie picks up. So keep that in mind. We don't know how much time passed between the time she left to go see Luke and the time she actually meets Luke. We just assume it wasn't much time, but we don't know that for sure. None of us know that for sure. They never really tell you. We don't know how much time it takes to travel from star system to star system. The other thing, of course, near the end of Force Awakens, Kylo Ren is fatally wounded. And being in the strongest years, that's the only reason he's not dead. And so General Hawks is told by Supreme Commander Smoke to bring Kylo Ren to him, because Kylo Ren, one, needs to train more, and two, needs to be healed. We don't know how long that takes. It's not like you can just drop somebody in and they just heal within a matter of minutes. And of course, he was coming back to train, finish up some of his training. So that could have been weeks or months. So keep that in mind going forward, that, you know, it could be, you know, it could be quite a bit of time between those, what really the two movies. So anyway, so of course, Rey meets Luke, and Luke's in full hermit mode. He no longer wants anything to do with anything, especially the Force, and tries to convince Rey he's not here to help her or anybody. Rey wants to convince him to come back and help help Leia and help the resistance to beat Kylo Ren and so on, but he's not having it, and he don't want to hear it. And so the Resistance, of course, they're still fighting their battles. They're trying to keep from being eliminated once and for all, and they go through attempts to, you know, get away, and it makes you think that this movie is going to be another Empire Strikes Back, because of course in Empire Luke goes to Master Yoda and trains while the rest of the crew is trying to escape from the Empire. Well, no, this movie don't go in that direction, and I'll explain it in a little. I would explain it more in a spoiler cast at some point. But so the Resistance, they're taking heavy losses, but they're still trying to find a way to hold on so they can get the safety stick and regroup. Leia, you know, she's a general. She's like the last remaining of the power structure of the Resistance. Now that Coruscant has been destroyed, there's really no Republic at this point. So there's no one to really give them help. So they're on their own. And even though there may be planets out there that will be willing to help them at some point, until they can get to these planets or get a message out to them, that, you know, it looks bleak. You got Finn, who wakes up from his coma and now wants to know if Rey's safe, but wants to, you know, help the rebels get away. And him and his newcomer named Rose, they go on this mission to find someone to help them. And so they go and leave everything. So now this movie is basically three stories going at the same time. You got Rey and her dealings with Luke. You got the rebels trying to stay alive and desperately struggling to do so. And then you got Finn and Rose on a mission to try to get help to help the rebels get away. And as I said, this is not the Empire Strikes Back. Now, there are some elements of the Empire Strikes Back in this. There are also some elements you'll recognize from Return of the Jedi. But there's also some elements that some people may not really like from the prequels, which I didn't have a problem with. Because I don't hate the prequels. I don't say they're great movies, but I watch them, sure. But at some point, this movie says, no, we are not rehashing. We are moving in a new direction. And from this point on, everything about Star Wars is done. That you know it. We're moving so far in a new direction, it's not even going to be funny. You may not even recognize what you see in Chapter 9 going forward. But this movie has really made breaking the cycle of movies, you know, being done over and over as far as storyline. They made an emphasis to do this because, you know, people were complaining. I think they listened. Kylo Ren, of course, he's of two minds. You know, he thought by killing his father, Han Solo, would make him more, you know, evil. Not evil, but make him more in line with the dark side. But instead, it has made him more conflicted about his feelings towards his good side and his bad side. And of course, Rey, she's looking for answers about her parents and why, you know, she has these abilities in the first place and what is all meant for her and what she's meant to do in this eternal conflict between light and dark and the balance that must be maintained in order for, you know, the universe to go forward. And I haven't seen it a second time, but I plan to. But I really, really enjoyed seeing this 2.5-hour movie. It thrilled me. I didn't feel like it, it, you know, I didn't have anything that bothered me about it. You know, I've listened to the reviews and people thought some things they didn't like. That's fine, you know. I'm not saying the movie's perfect. I'm just saying I like the movie. And I give it a full price. That's just my opinion. And it doesn't seem like anybody's calling in that wants to talk to Star Wars. So I guess I'm just doing a review and then hanging up. But I'll wait a minute or two. If you're listening and you want to call in on Skype, it's SilverSurfer_forever. If not, that's fine too. And of course, like I said, it's brought in $220 million. Oh, let me check the. Sorry, I gotta check the score of my team. Oh, okay, close game. I haven't been watching the game because I'm on the air and I would get distracted. And so I figure I'd just watch something else while I'm on the air, because this is a big game for me as far as football goes. It's my team playing. A lot on the line. Excuse me. Well, I guess no one cared about my last show of the season, so even though this is my last show of the season, you know, there might be some other shows coming on before the end of the year. Starting tomorrow, the Sports Report live at 11:15. They go all the different football and all the other sports of the week. Tuesday's a doubleheader, Shining Wizards at 7, and they'll probably broadcast to the end of the year and starting into the next year. But this Tuesday at 9 p.m. is the final episode of The Rant. So, that way, of course, he has to take his little vacation because he has to go help Santa get all the toys ready and the coal for all the nice and naughty kids. Of course, he really don't want anybody to know that, but I know what he does. And I think sometimes he fills in as Santa Claus for the Florida region, because the truth be told, Santa is not just one person who travels the whole world. He sends out people in his place so he can get it done at the same time. So now that you know the truth about Santa, don't share it with anybody. Thursday, Rant and Wrestling at 9. Could be the last episode of the year. Don't know. They'll probably, if it is, then, you know, the following week will probably, following weeks will probably be replays, because they do have replays. What's in there? Thank you, baby boy. For caring. I do. Thank you. Let's see. Friday, Turnbuckle Throwbacks at 9 p.m. live. That will be a special show, of course. I think that'll be their last show of the season. Following by the week after that, a best of show. And next Sunday will be nothing, because I won't be here till January for the Woody Reading Comic Book Show. Every Sunday, 6 p.m., unless there is something like the Super Bowl or some WrestleMania or something like that that prevent me from going on the air and talking comic books. Oh, wait. See, man's calling in when I'm about to hang up. I missed his call. Let me call him back. Doom, doom, doom. Doom!
I'm back.
I was just saying my goodbyes.
Oh, my bad. I hit you with a tone.
It's okay. So, you saw Star Wars?
Yes.
All right. Did you want to do spoiler talk, or you just wanted to tell you how you felt about the movie?
I'm not going to do full spoilers, but I like to say rest in peace, Admiral Akbar.
Now that's a spoiler, man. You should have. You shouldn't have spoiled that. You shouldn't have spoiled that, man. It's a trap.
I know.
All right, no, but okay, so you're not going to do spoilers, but tell me what you thought about the movie.
Oh, I liked it. It was just some parts, it's like, I think they were trying to fix up stuff from the first three movies. You know, some of the stuff going on with the Jedi, but I don't know, this next, it didn't follow the patterns of The Empire Strikes Back or nothing. Right. It was totally...
Right. See, if we got into spoiler talk, I would explain to you. Maybe off air, we can record a spoiler talk and have it uploaded next week or something.
Yeah.
Even though I won't be on the air live, you know, I can arrange it so it'll... They'll air a spoiler talk on the air at 5 p.m. Okay. So if you're willing to record this with me, then we'll get together.
Maybe not today, but I think some other people like Phil, and because I know some of the other guys.
Yeah, where's Philip? He's a Star Wars man around here.
I don't know. I might have him beat since I've been taking my Jedi classes.
So that's how you want to say?
No, I liked it, and I'm really excited for this next chapter. But from what Daisy Ridley says, that she's not going to come back after the third one. It's kind of opening up for how they're going to do the rest of the series.
She don't want to come back, or she's not signed up to come back.
Something like she doesn't want to be stuck cast as it. I was like, nah, baby. Once you become anything in the Star Wars, you're going to be forever that character in some people's eyes.
Yeah, that's true. But, some people's career, like Harrison Ford, he flourished beyond Star Wars. Where Mark Hamill, like, everybody thought he was going to be, like, a leading man for a long time. And he did a movie outside of Star Wars that did nothing in his career. Like, not that he's had a career doing the voices and doing guest spots and stuff like that, but he never was that leading man in a major movie. So, and Carrie Fisher, well, she kind of sabotaged her own career.
Yeah. Billy Dee Williams.
Well, no, Billy Dee Williams was a star before he did Star Wars.
I know. I'm just picking with you.
So it wasn't like it ruined his career. Like, yeah, we all knew Billy Dee before Star Wars. This was even before he started doing Colt 45 commercials. And of course, you know, Billy Dee's in Batman, so, you know, that's a big movie too.
Yeah.
Oh, we got, what a beautiful baby say. I like the direction they went a little more adult humor, which I liked, and pulled as a man, and is a man now. I didn't get it. Kylo Ren. Meant to say Kylo Ren. Anyway, what beautiful baby. If you want to do a spoiler talk, hit me up on Facebook. You know, this is not my real name, but I have a Jimmy Harvey. I needed to have a second page for this show, and they, you know, I couldn't use my real name, and I couldn't use Silver Surfer because they took it away from me. So, of course, all you got to do is call on Skype, the Silver Surfer _forever. But, you know, we'll record it, so you don't have to do Skype. We just got to record it, and then, we got to do Skype. That's what we got. Just won't be live on the air. Anyway.
Why didn't you change your name to Surfer Silvermane?
Because, okay, when Facebook contacted me about the name, they wanted me to upload an ID. I tried to explain to them that I needed the page for my podcasting, and they cut it off again. So, this was the original name when I first got the page before I changed it to say Surfer. And so I went back to it. I said, look, this was the name I signed up under. I don't have no ID to upload to you. And it opened up. So, voila. It's a real name. I mean, it's a real name. Name. It's not my real name, but it's a real name.
Yeah.
So that's it. Oh no, I do have a page. It's the Woody Reading Comic Book Show here. Let me get the link for you. Put it in the chat room. I have a page. You should follow it. I put news about comic book related stuff on there all the time. Let's see, here we go. Paste. And bam. So this is the link. All you gotta do is sign up. All you gotta do is follow it. It's What Are You Reading Comic Book Show. And you can follow me on Twitter too. Silver Surfer 4, F-O-R. And you get the same news from both the Twitter and the Facebook page. But what the Facebook page doesn't allow me to do is interact with people. So that's why I needed a personal page. Anyway. Yeah, I'm hoping that now that once this Fox deal go through and, yeah, you know, they have the
We get the original trilogy from Star Wars back.
Yeah, they'll get that.
So I could not watch this abomination of the George Lucas retouch. Solo shoots first.
Mm-hmm. Well, in the original Blu-ray DVD when it came out, they did put both versions on there.
Yeah.
No, what I was about to say. Okay, so now they're getting the Silver Surfer back. Mm-hmm. Now we need is the rights back to Namor, and you add in the Hulk. We can get the original Defenders in a movie.
Because we already got Valkyrie.
We got Doctor Strange.
Beast.
The Beast was an original member.
No.
No, the original members of the Defenders, it was Doctor Strange, the Hulk, the Sub-Man, the Silver Surfer, Nighthawk, Valkyrie, mm-hmm, and Hellcat.
Yeah.
And
speaking of Beast, I had a theory. After Avengers 4, if I was Marvel, I would introduce Beast to the Avengers. Because you remember in the 80s, he was an Avenger.
Mm-hmm.
Have him and Wonder Man come to the team. So you can have Wonder Man replace Thor, then Beast replace Tony Stark. Or you wouldn't go with that?
No, I like... Look, I've always liked the Wonder Man-Beast dynamic.
Yeah.
But I think maybe Marvel would be better off introducing Hollywood. You know Hollywood?
Mm-mm. I'm trying to remember.
Hollywood was Wonder Man in the future. Like, because he's ionic energy, you know, he doesn't age the same way. And in the original Guardians run from the 23rd century, something like that, 22nd century, he's still alive. And he joins the team. The Vision in the future, he's in a computer. And then Doctor Strange is the Ancient One, and there's a new Source Supreme. He's like an alien, and they showed him in Guardians 2 at the end.
Mm-hmm.
When all those Reavers were together talking about, yeah, we missed Yondu, but now we're back together for the first time. He was in that scene. The mutants had left Earth because they was chased off by Apocalypse. Yeah, they was chased off by Apocalypse. Apocalypse was trying to get at them, and they just decided to leave Earth, and Magneto fought him to the death, and the mutants found a new planet, and they started populating that. But for some reason, their offspring stopped being mutants. So the mutants that are left, they kind of run the planet, and they're cruel, and it's one of Wolverine's ancestors who's like the meanest. she runs everything.
Yeah. Because wasn't it like Earth's atmosphere helped the mutation?
No, it wasn't the atmosphere. It was the celestials seating there, the, you know, seating them with a gene that was, you know, didn't come to fruition until millions of years later.
Yeah. Which they could explain that in the X-Men, bringing the X-Men in.
We'll see what they do. I trust Feige, so. But now, of course, once this goes through, it's going to push a lot of sequels back, you know.
Yeah.
Because, you know, when they got Spider-Man, they pushed stuff back. Because Thor came out a year later than it was supposed to.
Yeah.
And Black Panther.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, all the movies that are coming out next year are basically coming out as far as, like, Avengers and Ant-Man and Wasp and so forth. But it may be a while before we get that Doctor Strange, Guardians 3. Of course, we were supposed to get the Inhumans, and we're not. So. Yeah, I think we ought to call it quits. Appreciate everybody listening live and on the downloads. And I hope everybody get what they want for the holidays. And everybody stay safe and warm. And we go in the new year, get prosperous. If we can get through this nightmare of politics and so forth. And bye, Felicia. And you want to say bye, Felicia?
Nah.
Why not?
You know, I don't feel like saying it.
Huh?
I don't feel like saying it.
You know who I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Who am I talking about?
I thought more of Jazz than from the Fresh Prince than Bye, no. Felicia.
Oh, you talking about when Jazz gets thrown out the house?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. So
I think that would have been funnier.
Yeah, but that but verbally you can't. I can't show that.
No, but.
And so, yeah. Don't let the tax cuts bite you. And hopefully, we will not lose net neutrality in the coming years. That you know, a lot of states are starting to sue. And I wish there was a way to get a class action lawsuit, because I would sign up for it. And if there is a class action lawsuit, I would suggest everybody sign up for it, because net neutrality is very important. You know, as long as the internet stays neutral, then you can do things like podcast and get stuff off the internet and speak your mind and learn what you want to learn and not have somebody control it or make you pay more. So without it, that's what will be coming. So, and internet's expensive as it is, and without it, it's going to get even more expensive. So, all right. So, set my piece, set my politics, set my comic books, set my movies, set my Star Wars. Nothing else I can think of. So until next year, peace.